Welcome to Email and Beyond, the podcast bringing you the latest email marketing and other complementary marketing channel tips, tricks, industry chat, brand insights, and more every 2 weeks. Join me, Richard Wall, Marketing Campaign Manager at Spotler, Kate Barrett, founder and CEO of eFocus Marketing, as we talk you through the good, the bad, and the ugly of marketing and how you can create a more intelligent strategy that gets results. Welcome back to another episode of Email and Beyond. I'm Richard Wall, Campaign Marketing Manager at Spotler UK.
And I'm Kate Barrett, founder and CEO of eFocus Marketing.
And today we're going to talk about RFM modelling. It's a topic that's been around for a very long time. And Kate, I'm going to let you lead on this one far more. So just for everyone tuning for the first time, what is RFM marketing?
Okay, so what this is effectively a way of segmenting your audience at its core. And what it comes down to is your purchase data. So RFM analysis is mostly used for B2C companies. So what you need is that data feed telling you what people have bought, how often they've bought, how much they've spent, all of that information. And the RFM analysis can kick out different segments. So what it stands for is recency. So how recently someone last bought from you. Frequency, how frequently they buy from you. And monetary value, how much they've spent with you. Now, what we're looking for is effectively a high score in each of those areas, which is going to give us our VIPs, and a low score in each of those areas is going to give us our inactives, never bought from you before, kind of lower value customers or prospects coming into it. So it's a fantastic way to take that purchase data and make something meaningful out of it and actually change the way that you talk to your audience based on that critical piece of information. Are they a customer or are they not a customer?
There we go. So the reason I want to talk about this thing is I was at a training show a couple of months ago and I heard someone whose opinion I largely respect on marketing, won't drop the name to here, but said RFM is dead, it's old, it's boring. But it sounds to me like it's just a pretty evergreen way of using that data. So why do you think this person is saying that it's dead? Is it just a case of using it badly? Or is there something else going on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, like, the first thing is email is dead, right?
Oh, yeah.
Email is dead. So I think anyone who is coming out with those types of statements, it's usually that kind of big impact statement. And then they'll say, oh, it's dead when you do it this way.
Yeah.
But when you do it this way, this is the right way to use it. So I think, you know, that maybe RFM on its own, maybe that is dead because we've actually got eRFM analysis that we can use. So what this is doing is layering on engagement data, what people have done in your emails, for example, what did they open, what did they click on top of that purchase data to give you an even deeper segmentation. And I also think, you know, if we look at, so the reasons why it might be dead, and I really don't think it is, but, you know, kind of playing on the wild side here. Again, if we think about RFM or if we think about ERFM, they're a starting point for that next level. You know, you could take your baseline RFM segments. So you might have 10 different segments running from your VIPs down to your prospects who have never bought from you before within that segmentation model. Now, what you can also then do is start to layer on other data. So if you know and they've told you they have a specific interest or preference in a certain area, for example, let's layer that on as the next stage. So I think these are kind of they're big statements, right? Email is dead, RFM is dead. But as the title of my book goes, email marketing isn't dead, the way you're using it is. So I think that's the same for RFM. We need to be taking it to ERFM and adding that engagement data as another level, and then taking it even further and adding in other data that we've got, whether that's preference data, so we're talking obviously our zero quality, our first party data with our tracking. We've got an episode on that if you haven't caught it. It is taking it further. And again, having these segments is great. If you're doing anything with them.
It's a good beyond style you talk about, isn't it? They've got this stuff and they don't know how to use it properly.
But this is, do you know what? This is the brilliant thing, because actually, if we look at email and beyond, if we look at what you can do, you know, RFM or ERFM, those signals don't have to just be used for email. Now, in email, obviously, you can use them for segmentation, personalization, triggering those automated campaigns. Brilliant. But who's to say we can't, because we can, take, let's say, our VIP segment, and we use that as an exclusion on our social media ads? Because you don't want to be serving up your normal ads to your VIP customers. They're the ones who buy the most from you, most frequently, most recently, spend the most money. Absolutely. So you're not going to want to spend your Facebook ad budget or a PPC budget targeting those people. You want to target your acquisition strategy. You know, maybe you want to use that VIP audience to find lookalikes through PPC ads or through Facebook ads. Or I think there's a new term for lookalikes now, but you know what I mean. So we can use this segmentation. And again, I think, you know, if we look at, is RFM dead? No, the way we're using it is. So let's expand it to one of the marketing channels. Let's think about if we've got an SMS opt-in, bring in some SMS into our automated email strategy, retarget with Facebook ads, and have an integrated campaign. There's so much more we can do with it.
So, I mean, is there also a case of overusing it? One of the things, I don't know if I remember which one we talked about most, but persona is the other one that we keep coming across, and I think this feeds into it. You obviously layer your RFM onto your buying personas, but if you see something, if you go too granular, I tell you, do marketing managers from Stevenage buy differently for ones in Maidstone? You're probably... So the problem we had was that you're not using it, but then it's the other angle, you overuse it and you expect too much of it and it can't deliver on its own.
It is one part of your segmentation strategy, and it depends what it is that you want to achieve. So whenever you're planning new campaigns, whenever you're looking at breaking down that data in different ways, we need to think about how we're going to help the customer by doing that. If you've got nothing different or relevant or interesting to say, why are you sending that message in the first place? You know, whatever channel it's through. So we have to really have that thought process behind it so that we don't... I don't think it's overusing it per se. I think it's probably using it in the wrong way. So, you know, not understanding about changing the messages between different types of segments. You know, a lot of the time I find that customers who come to us at eFocus Marketing and want help with their segmentation, you know, a lot of the time they're using great platforms, and there are multiple out there, including Spotler, of course, who have this functionality built in. And as long as you've got your data feeding into the platform, that's going to be creating these segments for you. But most of the customers that come to us say, you know, eFocus Marketing, help us. What do we do with these? How do we treat them differently? What is the send frequency we should be doing to these? So we worked with a customer recently who, very hot on RFM analysis, the RFM actually wanted to be doing a lot more with those segments. But we worked with them to figure out, okay, well, actually, the VIP segments get this, whereas the prospects get this. Now, that might be a difference in frequency of the manual BAU campaigns that are going out. Or it's a difference with automations, for example. So one example from that side would be an abandoned basket campaign. Maybe for your VIPs, if you've got a series of three emails in your abandoned basket automation, maybe your VIPs don't get email one, but maybe they get email two and three. So it's not so in their face, not so pushing them. So it's really about thinking, I don't think, to come back to your original question, I think overuse would probably be unlikely in the market today. It's all underuse of those valuable segments across exclusions, inclusions, automation, personalization, segmentation, expanding that out to your other channels. It gives you so many opportunities, but it is just one segmentation tool. It's one part of it. So you've got to be thinking about that wider strategy as well.
I suppose that's the difference that it makes. There's actually a standard. Someone who's bought a lot, like, good thing, if we were to take, I don't know, I think personally, started with buying guinea pig supplies And if you don't even know why that's important, we'll come back to that. It's a separate podcast, but you know, I suppose that's the difference between me buying a bundle of hay every month or buying 100 bundles of hay in December, and that lasts me through the year. That if I bought 100 bales in December and you tell me in my January, say, oh, you might need to buy more hay. Clearly, I don't. But if it's in that other frame, if you can tell I'm a monthly buyer, then if I've not bought 3 days after 1 month when I last bought,
yeah,
then I might need another. I might have moved on. But
yeah,
those two models, I'm probably spending the same amount with you. But that's where frequency comes into it. It's not just about, I think, because lifetime value kind of obscures that, doesn't it? If I have that money, buy my monthly purchase and my yearly purchase, and I do that for 10 years with my particular supplier, over that time, both models have the same lifetime value, but under RFM, you realise you treat it differently.
Exactly. And I think it's even deeper than RFM, because RFM will give you that to a level, but it's then adding that additional data and looking at it in a slightly different way, because you might have, and we use VIPs as the segment of store, you might have VIPs who buy every single month, or you might have VIPs who buy once a year. So this is where layering that additional data on is really important. RFM or ERRFM is the starting point, I would say, for that segmentation. And you mentioned personas. So personas are brilliant. They are that wider view of who are you targeting. And the example I always give here is of a pizza company. You like pizza?
Yeah,
right?
I like pizza.
I like pizza. So we could say the pizza companies are advertising to everyone, because, you know, a lot of people want to eat pizza. But actually, they're not. And the best way to see this is, you know, whether you look at Deliveroo, Uber Eats, a specific pizza company, you know, whoever that is. Look at the TV ads that come on, if anyone still watches TV ads.
Another platform
with them. But have a look at those that come on, because what you'll see is that the timing of those ads to the programs that they show up in between, and then the visuals of those ads are completely different, depending on different personas. So a pizza company might have a family persona. They might have a friends on a Friday night persona. Yeah, and they'd probably have a couple of others as well. But if we use those two, what you'll see is that the friends on a Friday night persona, you know, I mean, I'm old, but you know when Game of Thrones was on a Friday night?
Yeah.
When it was live, pretty much. When you didn't have to go on Now TV to watch it. You know, you would see the imagery or the pizza company advertising during Game of Thrones on a Friday night would be group of friends sitting around, while this doorbell rings, one of them jumps over the sofa to go and grab the food, you know, that kind of fun atmosphere. Whereas if you, let's say, on a Saturday night, I don't know what's on a Saturday night, X Factor, is that something? Yeah, I'm old. So on a Saturday night, exactly, yeah. On a Saturday night, what you're going to have is in between family programming, you're going to have imagery of exactly the same pizzas, because there's only a limited number of pizzas, right?
Right.
You're going to have different imagery, though, showing a family sitting around a table together, you know, smiling at each other. You know, they're spending that time. Very different. Same products at the end of it. They might bundle it differently in terms of offers. So on a Friday night for friends, you might have, you know, three pizzas, three sides and a bottle of drink, whereas to family, you might have one pizza, two sides, and a bottle of drink. Because they might bundle the offers differently for personas. But they're talking to them individually, but it's the same pizza.
Email and Beyond is an eFocus Marketing and Spotlight production. eFocus Marketing are a specialist email marketing agency based in the UK, serving customers around the world. We help brands use email more intelligently to engage your audience through our range of consultancy, management, and training services. To find out more about how eFocus can help you supercharge your email marketing, visit e-focusmarketing.com/email-and-beyond.
So the thing with personas is that is great, and that is brilliant. And if you have personas created in your business, fantastic. What I find with most of our clients is, even when they do have personas created, and personas are the top level view of your segmentation, and everything else then builds on top of that and adds layers to it, including ERFM. But if you don't allow your data to help you, you've got a problem. Because the biggest problem is people not being able to find those personas in their database. They're not collecting the right data from a zero-party site. They're not tracking the right behavioural data from a personality data side. So unless you can identify those personas in your audience, you're stuck. And it's the same with RFM. It's the same with any other segmentation you want to do. It comes back to your data. If you don't have the right data to identify those people, if you don't understand why you need certain types of data within your business, and it will be different for every business, the data that you want to collect and what's business critical for you. But if you don't understand where that data is coming from, why you're collecting it, how you potentially want to use it in your strategy going forward, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to get stuck with that creation process. Even down to those first steps of, are you looking to increase acquisition or are you looking to increase retention? Because that there's going to be different pieces of data that you want to use. There's going to be different areas of your persona targeting that you want to use. You know, with RFM, coming back to kind of ERFM, if we are targeting to increase retention, we don't want to be targeting the prospects who've never bought from us. We want to be targeting the middle segments who have some potential for uplift in the recency, frequency, or monetary value that they're spending with you. So again, you could come back to your original question of, is RFM dead? No, it's just the way that it's being used or not used in a lot of cases that is the issue here. So dig in, you know, if you've got a platform that gives you RFM analysis built in and you've got your purchase data feeding in, go and have a look at it. Go and have a look at what that journey is of people between different segments of the RFM. Go and pick out one segment that you want to target from it and look at how you could use that information for personalization, segmentation, or triggering an automated campaign.
It doesn't sound like you actually need data that's necessarily hard to come by if you're doing anything like I think of the Spotless setup.
Yep.
And through our CRM, it's all saved in one place. The sales activity, the account activity, the marketing activity is all saved in one place, so we can see contract value. We have an MRR model. Yeah, MRR. So I'm going to get confused with MRR.
Too many acronyms.
Not out there, but we'll do one on marketing acronyms next. Season 2, worst acronym. So it sounds like it's a case of understanding, rather than saying, oh, we've got to go out and buy our own platform. It's a case of you probably have this data.
Yeah.
It's just a case of getting the pieces in, right? So we can see, what channel like everything. So I could tell any of our customers and look at what their contract date was, what their MRR value was. And then, so frequency is an interesting one in a SaaS model.
Which is why it doesn't work for B2B.
There we go.
It's definitely a B2C model. Now, you can take it and tweak it. It speaks to your platform. They're happy for you to tweak what data's coming in. But effectively, it's just coming in from a data feed off those three points. So what you could do is, let's say if you wanted to turn it into, say if your conversions downloads, if you're a B2B, right? So it's webinar signups or downloads or something like that. So what you can do is you can say, how recently did someone last download something from me? How frequently do they download from me? And then it's that monetary value one that you then want to change for something else. So it could be value of the download. And obviously you guys would then have to value those appropriately based on, you know, maybe where they come in that sales cycle or something like that. But the fundamental of ERFM is built for B2C businesses, and that's where the main use is.
when you're thinking about B2B, what you'd be looking at is a lead scoring model. So that, from a B2B side, is where you are attributing a value to every action that somebody takes with you. So if they sign up, if they open an email, if they click on something, if they download something, if they sign up for a demo, if all of these things from the top of the funnel to the bottom of the funnel will then have values on them. And then what you can do is you then use that for your segmentation. So effectively what you're doing is you're finding your hot, warm and cold leads, depending on the score that somebody gets along the way. That can then be shared with your sales team. So the hot leads, they might want to follow them up. Warm leads, you might be doing some more lead nurture with them. Certainly the cold leads, you want to be doing that initial lead nurture or relationship building. So lead scoring is effectively the RFM model for B2B businesses, but really focusing on action and behavior rather than that purchase data.
I'm having one, and this, again, another revolving thought.
I see the thought coming here.
So, there's a very good thing I read somewhere that Meta wants their brand to be on everything, and Google wants their brand to be on nothing.
Okay.
Because what I was thinking is that, Lisa, that if you've got, you might have a perfect, your happiest customer, well, our happiest customer, might be the person who knows how to get the best of the platform, has been using it for 5 years, doesn't necessarily come to seminars, download resources, because they know what they're doing. They've got what they got their plan. So we would almost not know they exist on a lead scoring basis, but then they're hacking them. I'm doing my best to think of an analogy of a product, like of stuff, something that I would just buy because I always buy it. And then, you know, you, from a marketing perspective, those are your best people because you don't need to do anything to keep them.
Yeah.
From a retention and marketing. But then also someone who attends every webinar, who downloads every white paper, who reads every blog, they love you and they're with their content, but they're engaging with you in a completely separate way. So my thought is it possible to, firstly, is it possible to separate to out? Also, do you kind of lose the wood for the trees at some point where you say, oh no, this person hasn't been on our website for 5 years. And they're like, yeah, because they just pay their renewal and Climate Auto rolls over and we're happy with them and they're happy with us.
And I think that's where, whether you're B2B or B2C, if you look at one section of your data in isolation, you're going to get stumped because you're going to miss those nuances. And again, it comes back to knowing what do you want to achieve? What are you trying to get to? What are those goals you're trying to get to? Is it acquisition? Is it retention? Is it, what is it? Focus in and then find the data that's right for that business. Whether you're B2B or B2C, find the right data, layer it, but understand why you're doing it in the first place.
So we said at the beginning, pick a segment to work on. But so you need to take the whole view and gather the data for everyone, but then do something with it, you know, in one.
Yeah.
I think the yolk could be egg almost.
Yeah, I think, but the thing is, with anything in marketing, yeah, it's a million ideas we could give you right now, literally, of what to do or what to look at, is step by step. So, you know, if you've got a platform, if you're B2C, if you've got a platform that offers RFM or ERFM analysis, and a lot do nowadays, it's just plug in your purchase data, which you should be doing into your ESP or CRM platform anyway. Pick one segment. Pick one segment to start working on and think about how you're going to use that for personalization, segmentation, or triggering a specific campaign. You know, if it's prospects, okay, brilliant. How's our welcome series looking? Oh, we haven't got one. Let's go and build a really good welcome series. Or, you know, is it VIPs? Or what do we need to exclude them from? Because we don't want to bug them too much because we know that they are going to buy, like they bought from us recently, they're going to buy from us frequently and they're going to spend all those money with us. So start with one thing, but then think about your whole data universe and how you can layer from there. But get started with one. Get something implemented, test it, and you can optimize and layer on more information from there.
There we go. That's our action point for the day. I think that's a great place to wrap it up. So RFM, it's not dead, you just got to use it right.
Absolutely.
That's probably the tagline for the entire series.
I think it is the tagline. I mean, it's the entire tagline for life, Richard, to be honest.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us for our episode, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
If you like this episode, please follow us on YouTube and subscribe through iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts.